as a member of the Society of Jesus, I have a vested interest in speaking on the promises of the Sacred Heart. Promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is part of my rule of life as a Jesuit. The immediate reason for the Society of Jesus being given the task of promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart is the revelations that our Lord gave to Saint Margaret Mary. But it was because her Jesuit confessor, Blessed Claude Colombier, attested to the authenticity of her revelations when, in her own community, she died with a reputation for being out of her mind. There were many more revelations to Saint Margaret Mary, promising extraordinary graces besides the 12 we commonly identify with the 12 promises. However, with these 12, fairly synthesize all the others. My purpose here is, first of all, to act like a good Jesuit should act, promote devotion to the Sacred Heart. My intention is to say just a few words on each of the 12 promises, applying each promise to ourselves. These 12 promises, I've assured myself, have been translated into more than 200 languages. You might simply say, the promises are the Beatitudes, 12, building on the 8th in the Gospels. And, like the Beatitudes, the promises are conditional. We fulfill the condition and Christ comes through with a promise. But before we go into the 12 promises in detail, I think a word of introduction should be said on what is devotion to the Sacred Heart. This is my explanation. Having taught the theology of the Sacred Heart over the years, seminars among my young Jesuit priests on how do you promote devotion to the Sacred Heart, here is my definition. Devotion to the Sacred Heart is the love of Jesus Christ shown especially by humility, patience, and faith in His real presence in the Holy Eucharist. Why humility? Because this is the one virtue that Christ told us, we are especially to imitate. Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. Why patience? For cause this is why God became man, to patiently suffer out of love for us. We love him exactly. That adverb took 40 years for me to learn. We love him exactly as much as we are willing to suffer out of love for him. Why faith in the real presence? Because loving Christ is no abstraction. It is the love of a real divine person, really become man, and this God-man is really on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. Margaret Mary, spiritual director, in one declarative sentence stated, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, period. Now, the 12 promises. Necessarily, the commentary on each, no matter how I divide my time, will have to be short. First, I will quote the promise, and then a bit of explanation and application to ourselves. I will give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. Unquote. God wants every person to have a state of life, a stable, constant, lifelong, dedicated, shall I say, consecrated way of life. And it is part of God's eternal providence, because he wants us to have a state of life. It is part of his providence. What else would you expect? Why have the noun unless you've got the verb? To provide. To provide. All the light we need for the mind and all the strength we need for the will, otherwise known as actual graces, in order that having entered on a state of life, we might live that state of life faithfully until the end. Second promise. I will establish peace in their homes. Peace between people is a result of peace within people. There is peace within people when their will are conformed to the will of God. No one else, No one else is at peace within unless his will is conformed to the will of God. Period. Our wills, therefore, provided they are conformed to the will of God, will give us peace in our own hearts, and no matter how trying people can be, my friends, I'm sure this is no secret, people can be very underlined and circle the word very trying. That's one reason why other people exist. Did you know that? To give us a chance to conform our wills to the divine will. By being patient and forbearing with those whom God in His wisdom puts into our lives. Now this conformity to the divine will is no academic theory. That's why God became man to teach us what His will is. And then Christ told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And among the commandments, he isolated one. Remember? Singular number. This is my commandment. No S at the end. That you love one another. As I have loved you, believe me, whether it is a home with father, mother, and children, or a religious community, there's only as much peace in that home as there is patient, forbearing, selfless love among the members of either that domestic or supernatural family. Third promise, I will comfort them in all their afflictions. This is almost verbatim the third beatitude of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they who mourn. They shall be comforted. Oh, this English language of ours. Comforted. What does it mean? Comes from the Latin fortis, strength. They shall be strengthened. Afflictions, trials, difficulties. Of course, this is not yet the church triumphant. This is the church militant. We won't make it to the church triumphant unless we have, well, you can finish the sentence, fought valiantly in this church militant. And we don't have to search around or speculate to find an enemy. You don't have to agree with me. Our worst enemy is you know who. The sacred heart promises those who are devoted to him strength. And no matter what trials we face, in the end, this strength begins in the mind. There was such a thing as having a strong mind. Meaning what? Meaning strong convictions. I'm absolutely sure, convinced, positive, that what? That what God revealed is the truth. And the stronger my mind, the stronger will be my will. No more, no less. Only convinced people are courageous people. Everyone else is a coward. Fourth promise. I will be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. Refuge means assurance. It means hope. It means confidence. And notice, when the Sacred Heart promises us to be our secure refuge, this is not only confidence or trust, and in that sense, a refuge. Subjectively, inside of us, emotionally, it is a deeply objective refuge. Christ is a fortress. And he's real. Oh. But the condition is, remember, all of these are promises. And they are only as assured as we fulfill the condition. I'm sure we all have our favorite dozen passages in sacred scripture that have become the bulwark of our spiritual life. Here's one of mine. Place, Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me. That's God speaking. That's a terrifying statement. Some years ago, when I submitted a manuscript for diocesan censorship, and I have this statement minus the quotation marks in one of the paragraphs. The censor said, approve for publication, but drop that sentence. It's untrue. I owed him a little note. Dear Father, will you please go to your Bible? Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I got my imprimatur. This is an awful statement. It is also a most consoling statement. what is God, whose name is love, telling us? Your love for me, says God, is a condition of my love for you. You don't theologically analyze that statement. You gulp and live it. As I've been telling my students over the years, there are only two mysteries in my vocabulary. One in heaven, one on earth. In heaven, the Holy Trinity. On earth, human liberty. That's a mystery. And the deepest recesses of that mystery are what we've just said. How, dear Lord, how is it possible that you, the Almighty, do you really mean it? That you will love us if we love you? It is a created will that produced hell. If we love God, He will love us. But that if, I repeat, you don't explain this, that if depends on us. Fifth promise. I will bestow a large blessing on all their undertakings. We must remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the master of the universe. He is the Lord of history. There is no chance, nothing trivial, nothing ever merely happens as far as He is concerned. And consequently, provided we love Him, and that's what the Sacred Heart is all about, provided we love Him, He assures us of His extra, underline the prefix, extraordinary grace in all our enterprises, and I would like to add, as a priest, apostolates, out of all proportion, beyond the capacity or the gifts or the talents of the individual engaged in the undertaking. God will work miracles. No other word comes. He will work miracles through us. Many, no doubt most of which, in His wisdom, He keeps hidden from our eyes to keep us, drop the H, humble. Sixth promise. Sinners will find in my heart the source and the infinite ocean of mercy. this needs saying, especially in today's mad world. It was St. Margaret Mary's director, Blessed Claude, who in his beautiful, I commend to all of you, prayer of confidence, declared then, we can sure say now, I have seen the cedars of Lebanon fall, and the stars falling from the heavens at great names have in our day become a byword for infidelity, disloyalty, disobedience, blasphemy. Humanly speaking, they don't have a chance. And especially if they are priests whom I know so well, no stupidity there. They know. Yet, in this mysterious sixth promise, a single act of the love of Jesus Christ, so we are assured by the Sacred Heart, will convert even the most hardened sinner. Seventh promise. Tepid souls shall grow fervent. Again, one of my favorites, though frightening passages in the Bible. This one in the book of Revelation. Christ speaking. Would that you were hot or cold, but because you are tepid, I will vomit you from my mouth. The promise. Tepidity is a terrible thing, because remember, these are not figures of speech. The vocabulary of Revelation reveals mysteries in human language that we can never comprehend. Something becomes tepid after having been hot. The angels weep when they see men and women blessed with extraordinary graces from God, meant to scale the heights of sanctity, dropping and, as we say, drifting. Once more the promise. The secret is a sincere, honest, interior Surrender. Surrender of what? There's only one real surrender we've got to make in life. Of self. To whom? To God. I've seen it. And you thrill with the experience. No years long process. The peace that I've given over the years. A drifter. A loafer. In a moment. Provided the grace is responded to. A changed man, a changed woman. Eighth promise. Fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. Each of us has the grace available. One of the most sobering features in the history of sanctity is the number, the predominant number of young people who have become saints in my own Society of Jesus. Stanislaus, a youngster, Aloysius, John Burtons, and the Church's universal patron of the missions, died at the ripe old age of 43. The key is not how long we live. The key is how ready we are to plunge, jump in, and give ourselves entirely to the Master. The ninth promise. From now on, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th promises are very down to earth. 9th, I will bless every place where an image of my heart shall be set up and honored. I was a child of 3. What I remember is over my bed was a picture of the Sacred Heart. Images of the Sacred Heart. Picture, statue. Christ assures us our powerful external graces beyond all human expectation. As we know, God never can be changed the other. God normally, barring an exception in his providence, he does not give internal graces except through some external, sensibly perceptible medium. A person, an object, a word, something seen, heard, felt, or touched. The image of the Sacred Heart, theologically speaking, is a powerful external grace to ensure interior graces for the mind and will. 11th promise. Those who promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be blotted out. Remember this. Devotion to the Sacred Heart includes promotion of devotion to the Sacred Heart. Christ wants all of us to be apostles of the Sacred Heart. He doesn't mean or doesn't have to mean a lot of talking or speechifying. He doesn't mean becoming a Dale Carnegie salesman. Have you heard? Quiet, calm, but always intending to share with others the greatest treasure that we have, the love of God become man, which man has a human heart and the measure of our zeal, Christ promises he will never remove our names from his heart. Then what is often called the great promise, I thought I'd put it down verbatim. I promise you, in the excessive mercy of my heart, that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who communicate on the first Friday in 9 successive months. Well, that's the condition. Now the promise. The grace of final perseverance. Period. They shall not die in my disgrace without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. There's only one purpose we have in this life, and that is to die in the love of God. Everything else is meaningless. Not too long after we leave this world, no matter how famous we may have been, pardon the expression I've used it over the years to sustain my own loyalty to God, we will become skulls and forgotten names. everything therefore depends on our leaving time and entering eternity in the grace of God. And the church, in canonizing Saint Margaret Mary, has approved, and now for generations has encouraged the faithful to practice what we call the devotion to the nine first Fridays. Two thoughts before we close. In the context in which this great promise was made, our Lord specified to Margaret Mary, they are to be holy communions of reparation. In order to make up for and expiate, especially as Christ told us, the coldness and the indifference, dear Lord, what bitter coldness and what tragic indifference, this is Christ speaking, especially among those who have been specially dedicated by their vocation to love me in the sacrament of my love. Reparation especially for priests and religious. And the second thought, we teach on faith that the grace of final perseverance cannot be merited. We cannot earn it, even by a lifetime of virtuous behavior. The grace of final perseverance must be prayed for. And the Church tells us the great promise of the Sacred Heart of the nine first Fridays is a most powerful and effective prayer, which we by now have fulfilled, and let's keep refulfilling the condition of the nine successive first Fridays in order to obtain from the dear Lord the most precious gift that we need from Him, that having lived in His friendship, we might die in His grace. And then no longer have to struggle to practice the devotion to the Sacred Heart, but enjoy it ecstatically for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.